Our life is filled with choices, and when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Reading and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence, you can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
As part of Operation Holiday Salute, Reading Kia would like to express our gratitude to our veterans and those currently serving our country. Since 2006, Reading Kia has striven to be the premier auto dealership in the North State. There's always military incentive rebates on all new 2023 and 2024 Kias at Reading Kia. Test drive a new 2024 Kia Telluride today. Reading Kia, home of the 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty. 418 East Cypress Avenue, ReadingKia.com.
From the historic campus of Hillsdale College in Hillsdale, Michigan, where the good, the true, and the beautiful are taught, nurtured, and honored, this is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour, bringing the activity and education of the college to listeners across the country.
Part of the job of an educator is to order our loves, in other words, to put them in some sort of ranked order and see to it that we are primarily committed to the loves which are most worthy.
This is your host, Scott Bertram, and that's Dr. John Fennell, Professor Emeritus of Education at Hillsdale College, and also co-author of a new paper, An Epistemological Rationale for Classical Education. We talk about classical education and Dr. Fennell's work today on the show. Dr. Fennell, thanks so much for joining us here on the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Well, it's my pleasure to be with you today.
The title of the paper that you wrote is An Epistemological Rationale for Classical Education. What is epistemology? What does it mean to have an epistemological rationale?
Well, one of my dictionaries defines epistemology as the study or a theory of the nature and grounds of knowledge. In other words, epistemology is an account of what it is to know, how we know, etc. And rationale has really two meanings depending on the context. One context is explanation. So a rationale can be an explanation of how something works. The second context is justification. So rationale there could be a justification for a proposed objective or some end. In our paper, my co-author Tim Simpson and I aim to provide both. We want to provide an account of how we know, especially how classical education enables people, builds character, etc. And also we want to provide an argument that we ought to adopt classical education. So our paper in providing an epistemological rationale is both an explanation and a recommendation.
In this paper, which people can find online in Principia, it's volume 2, number 1, you refer to the sort of person we would like to see emerge from schooling. What more can you tell us about that?
Well, I used to teach philosophy of education at the college, as you know, and I always emphasize that educators, whether they realize it or not, are in the business of cultivating a certain sort of person. And to the degree that we teach intelligently, our practice is driven and inspired by a human ideal, a concept of human fruition. Now, classical education is quite consciously in the service of a human ideal. And in the paper, Dr. Simpson and I indicate that there is both an intellectual and moral dimension to man. That is why classical education, while honoring its ideal, is explicitly committed to cultivation of the mind as well as of the heart. Now, classical educators are very much involved in character formation. If we are successful in this enterprise, the young, when they are adults, will be just as committed to educating their young as we are to educating them. In short, by proceeding in this fashion, the chain of civilization remains intact.
Talking with Dr. John Fennell, his piece is in Principia, a journal of classical education. This paper also heavily features the thought of Harry Brody referencing the illusionary store. What is that, and why is it important?
Well, this concept shows the powerful influence on Brody of a prominent philosopher named Michael Polanyi and the epistemology that Polanyi articulated. Illusionary store is Brody's term for the largely tacit reservoir of principles, concepts, and images, what he calls stencils, and that each of us has, and that we tap when we try to understand the world, when we try to see the world, including most notably, perhaps, understanding ourselves. When we look about ourselves, look around the world, we see or understand in terms of the concepts and categories that are contained in the illusionary store. Now, this illusionary store is in large measure the product of a fertile, mandated curriculum. And this leads to one of our primary justifications of classical education. Now, for Brody, a primary purpose of schooling is to richly stock this illusionary store. Now, due to the rich store and its enduring influence, the young, later older people, are enabled to live a good life. And I want to emphasize that concept, enablement. I would say that enablement is a characteristic of any practice that merits the term educational. Now, some of our listeners are going to recognize in this discussion a connection to E.D. Hirsch and his concept of cultural literacy. If we had more time, we could go into more detail on this. There is a strong parallel between Brody's illusionary store and Hirsch's cultural literacy project.
So why are the arts and the humanities a vital component of a good education?
Well, there's a really good and complex answer to that question. Let me begin by saying that Brody was a world leader in what is known as aesthetic education. Now, aesthetic education refers to the use of the arts and humanities to cultivate our tastes. In other words, young people do not have cultivated tastes, and one of our jobs is to cultivate them. Also, aesthetic education has a vital role to play in ordering our loves. Now, that's a phrase that some listeners will recognize, but others may find that perplexing. Well, let me explain. When I was teaching philosophy of education, I elected to teach St. Augustine. And St. Augustine is extremely insightful on this matter. He says that we are best understood as individuals in terms of that which we love. And Brody, I think, is very sensitive to this. He's saying that part of the job of an educator is to order our loves. In other words, to put them in some sort of ranked order and see to it that we are primarily committed to the loves which are most worthy. And so the aesthetic education that Brody's involved in does that. And the arts and humanities have a key role in that aesthetic education. Now, Brody understands, as does people like Polanyi and St. Augustine, that as human beings, we act in accordance with images that are in our mind. Now, Brody would say, well, those are images in our illusionary store. By acting under the influence of these positive and negative images, we demonstrate the kind of person that we are. The arts and humanities are an indispensable source of those images. These things need to be a central feature of our K-12 education system. And I would add, in closing on this matter, that we have as much to learn from C.S. Lewis as we might learn from Brody and Polanyi.
In connection with K-12 education, especially in public schools, much is said about the necessity of providing equal opportunity for all. What would you say to someone who asserts that a liberal arts curriculum is not appropriate for every child and perhaps stands in the way for some of that opportunity?
Well, I'd say a couple things. First, I would say they aren't thinking very clearly. But secondly, I would ask that we all recall this notion of enabling, or enablement, that I mentioned a moment ago. Classical education is especially, even uniquely, capable of enabling the young throughout their lives to understand the world and thereby be effective in it. Now, this enabling comes not only through arts and humanities, it comes through science and many other of the disciplines, but the thing I want to emphasize is that people who are properly educated, especially through a rich curriculum like classical education offers, develop a sense of mastery of the world. They understand things. They understand more things. They understand them better. And that, in turn, leads to confidence. Also, those who profit from a good classical education are inspired by images of moral excellence. They know how to act. They know that certain ways of acting are proper and will lead to rewarding ends. So as a result of having this rich curriculum, this classical education, people become more capable, more effective, etc. And I would say that this enabling is the most important thing we can do to achieve equality of opportunity through education. And this is true of young people of all backgrounds and all levels of intellectual ability.
We'll pause right there. Dr. John Fennell is with us, Professor Emeritus of Education at Hillsdale College. We talk with him about his paper, In Defense of Classical Education. I'm Scott Bertram. This is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Lauk's Landscape Supply at 6023 Turn Creek Road offers a wide variety of products for all areas of your yard or landscape. Whether it's bark or soils, gravel, a retaining wall, Eucart concrete, sod, pond supplies, erosion control, and much more. You'll find it at Lauk's Landscape Supply, a proud sponsor of Operation Holiday Salute, to thank our veterans and the brave men and women who are currently serving in the armed forces this holiday season. Lauk's Landscape Supply, part of Operation Holiday Salute on KCNR.
It's never too late to start at Shasta College. Late start classes and 8-week compressed classes are still available. To learn more about upskilling or reskilling for a current job or career, information is online at shastacollege.edu or call one of our counselors to see how easy it is to get enrolled at 530-242-7650. Shasta College offers in-person, hybrid, and online class options to fit your busy life and responsibilities. Financial aid is available. More at shastacollege.edu.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300. A reputation for excellence since 1965.
Do you or someone you love struggle with PTSD, anxiety, depression, insomnia, OCD, alcoholism, substance abuse disorder, autism, ADHD, brain fog, or traumatic brain injury? At Shasta Meadows Wellness Center, Dr. Taggart and his team offer safe, proven, and effective care, even for those resistant to typical medicine. Learn more about Shasta Meadows Wellness Center. They have IV ketamine or at-home oral ketamine. Ask about the state-of-the-art EEG-guided TMS therapy. This customized, safe, no-side-effect option is effective on a wide range of difficult-to-treat conditions. Visit us today at ShastaMeadowsWellness.com. Don't just get by. Get well.
Call to make an appointment for a free consultation. 530-444-8304. 530-444-8304. Shasta Meadows Wellness Center in Reading.
Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market Street and Eureka Way in downtown Reading has the perfect gift this holiday season. Car wash packages starting at only $11. They make great stocking stuffers and are excellent gifts for those who are a little hard to shop for. Choose from four different car wash packages. Buy five car wash packages and get one free. Or buy 10 and get three free. Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market Street and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. Quick and clean.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
This is Carl Bott. Join Linda and me Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. We're going to discuss what's happening in our city, county, state, and nation. Join in. Miss a day, miss a lot. Free Fire Radio, Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m.
We're back on the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. I'm Scott Bertram. We've been talking with Dr. John Fennell, Professor Emeritus of Education here at Hillsdale College. He has a new paper published in Principia making a defense of classical education. Dr. Fennell, what is the connection between intellectual enhancement and moral development?
Well, this points to one of the more complex aspects of the paper, but it's very important. In the paper, we argue that there's a reciprocal relationship between intellectual enhancement and moral development. By this, we mean two things. First, that persons of salutary character, people who have healthy character, who have ordered loves that we discussed earlier, will be inspired to enrich in their understanding of the world. In other words, their character gives rise to a interest in learning more about the world. Their character aids and abets a kind of intellectual development. So, for example, properly ordered lives, properly ordered loves, will lead people to want to understand the truth more clearly. They will want to exercise proper reasoning, and they will have a disdain for the opposite. The reciprocal here is that moral excellence and excellence of character are frequently the fruit of appropriately guided intellectual development. In other words, we have to learn someplace what it means to have good character, etc. And so in the same way that good character and moral development leads to intellectual development, intellectual development in turn leads to a kind of moral development. Now in the paper, we point out that we ought not to artificially separate these two processes. They are instead, as we say, two moments in a single education.
You also use the term enlightened cherishing in this paper. What does that mean, and how does it connect to the central aim of classical education, which you identify as character formation?
Well, enlightened cherishing is Brody's term, and it's remarkably apt. At first glance, it seems a little peculiar, but the more you think about it, the more you see why the words are very well chosen. What Brody means to talk about here is this. Every individual is attracted to and loves something. Even the drug dealers and the gang members love something. Each of us cherishes one thing or another. Brody emphasizes repeatedly that it's our job as educators, indeed as adults, to take the steps necessary so that the young love and cherish the proper things. They're going to love and cherish something, and it's our job to intervene into their lives and be sure that they end up loving and cherishing the right things and having a disdain for the wrong things. Brody calls this value education or value reconditioning. Now, that term's going to frighten some people, but it's really a multi-syllable word saying that we're exercising our responsibility. The arts and humanities, as well as the personal example of exemplars, and I would use the term stories broadly understood to include all of that. All of these things are especially effective in accomplishing this value education or value reconditioning. It's a hallmark of classical education to provide abundant such stories. And if you think back to the early grades, you can remember some of the fairy tales and so forth. Mm-hmm. And in the later grades, we read more sophisticated literature. But once again, it's the value of stories, the value of exemplars in the process of developing in the young appropriate values. Now, the ultimate product of all this is a sort of person that we've been talking about since the beginning of our discussion. And we mean here, by all this, the process of character formation.
What do you regard as the central statement of your paper? What's the main idea you hope people come away with?
Well, in the way of introduction, let me just say that formally, the paper is a warning and a plea that classical educators not fall prey to a dangerously narrow conception of assessment and accountability. There's a lot of pressure on headmasters, principals, as well as boards, to show in some quantitative fashion what the school has accomplished. And there's nothing wrong with that, especially when it comes to mathematics and reading comprehension. But what Brody is pointing out, based on Polanyi's epistemology, is that the most important things that go on in a school are not going to be captured by these mechanisms of assessment and accountability.
Mm-hmm.
And we wrote the article in large measure to reassure these leaders in the classical education movement that it's okay to emphasize things that are not going to show up on a standardized test. In fact, these things are the most important things, and you can't abandon them and still be practicing classical education. But at a deeper level, what the essay is about is the inner workings of character formation. And at the top of page 94, we make the following statement, and I'm quoting us here. Character is the product of a commitment made incumbent by the aesthetic appeal of images encountered during earlier education. What we're trying to say in this statement is that we're in the business of developing character, and the way that is done is by producing in the minds and the souls of the young a commitment. Now, how does that done? What we're reminding people is what Brody tells us, is that we become committed to attractive images of behavior, attractive images of outcomes. And those attractive images are brought into the lives of the young through this rich curriculum. Now, Brody uses another interesting term. He says seduction to commitment, which sounds really ominous, but it really is innocent. What he's saying is that we surround the young with images. Images from the Bible, or mm-hmm. images from C.S. Lewis, or images from the great novelists. Also, some of these images come in the form of sound, in the form of music, and they come in the form of dance even. There are many ways that images are communicated. And what Brody is saying is, just like Plato says in the Republic, we surround the young with these attractive images, and they become seduced by them. They want to be like that.
Dr. John Fidel, last question for you about this paper. It's about a larger thing. It's about classical education. It has been in the news. There has been much attention to it these past couple of months, certainly in past couple of years. If our listeners are interested in what we've been talking about, where would you recommend they go next?
Well, the first thing, of course, is they should read our article. And it's available online. Principia has a very attractive website, and they provide all this content without any charge, which is nice. So read the article. That's the first thing. The second thing is I urge readers or listeners who will be readers to follow up by investigating the authors and the resources that we cite in the paper. In particular, Brody has a little book. It's out of print, but still available, a little book called The Uses of Schooling. And it's only like 85 pages long or something, but it's full of insight. So, look at Brody's book, The Uses of Schooling, and also the other sources in the paper. That's the second thing.
Dr. John Fidel, you can find that piece again at Principia, a Journal of Classical Education, an Epistemological Rationale for Classical Education. Dr. Fidel, also a professor emeritus of education at Hillsdale College. Dr. Fidel, thanks so much for joining us here on the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
It's been my pleasure to be here.
Up next, we talk with Coach Joe Kennedy, author of the book Average Joe and winner of a Supreme Court case on religious liberty. I'm Scott Bertram. This is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Car Wash at the corner of Market Street and Eureka Way in downtown Reading has the perfect gift this holiday season. Car wash packages starting at only $11. They make great stocking stuffers and are excellent gifts for those who are a little hard to shop for. Choose from four different car wash packages. Buy five car wash packages and get one free. Or buy 10 and get three free. Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market Street and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. Quick and clean.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Find one-of-a-kind fall decor and more at Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage in the Shasta Gateway Center on Highway 273 in Anderson. Open Wednesday through Saturday, 10 to 6, Sunday, noon to 5, and Monday, 10 to 6. Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage has a wide assortment of fall decor, including artificial flowers, leaves and pumpkins, garland and wreaths, mantel swag, and glassware, pillows, and pine cones. Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage in the Shasta Gateway Center on Highway 273 in Anderson.
Now, this is Carl Bott
and Ted Leidy.
We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up. Fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
Hi, it's Mark from Haven Humane Society. Are you looking to add to your family? We have puppies, kittens, small critters, and farm animals. Each year, we have thousands of amazing animals looking for homes come into our lives, and we hope to have them join yours. Follow us on social media and find our links on our website, havenhumane.org. Watch our weekly content on YouTube, like our Mark's Monday mashup, when we talk about what's going on and introduce you to our team and adoptable animals. Get involved. Volunteer. Thank you for all your continued support. Together, we are moving closer to our ultimate goal of a North State with no more homeless pets.
Welcome back to the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. I'm Scott Bertrand. Be sure to check out the Hillsdale College Podcast Network. It's at podcasts.hillsdale.edu. Find older episodes of this program plus other fine Hillsdale podcasts like The Larry Arn Show, Imprimis, and the Hillsdale College K-12 Classical Education Podcast, all at podcasts.hillsdale.edu. We're joined now by Coach Joe Kennedy. He won a landmark religious liberty case in front of the U.S. Supreme Court recently. Also the author of the new book, Average Joe, One Man's Faith and the Fight to Change a Nation. You can find more at CoachJoeKennedy.com. Coach, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure.
Congratulations on the new book and the Supreme Court win. I don't know how closely our listeners were following that Supreme Court case, which was an important Supreme Court case, absolutely. Tell us a little bit what happened to lead everything up until that moment in the Supreme Court. What was that incident, the scenario that led you to eventually stand in front of those justices?
Yeah, so it started out with me making my covenant with God to give thanks after every football game. Win or lose. And that's what I did. I did that for 8 years at Bremerton High School, which is up by Seattle, Washington. And yeah, I was just doing that. The kids asked if they could come out and I told them it was a free country. They could do it. And next thing you know, 8 years later, somebody saw what we were doing, gave a compliment to the school district, and the school district frowned upon it and ended up letting me go and fire me for exercise of my First Amendment rights. So we took him to court. We lost 7 times in a row and finally got to the Supreme Court for the second time. and they actually ruled on the Constitution and also the facts of the case, which was awesome.
People, perhaps by reading some media stories, might misinterpret what was happening. So I want to make sure we're clear about a few details. One is it was not a required team activity. Two, it was not in the course of the game. It was after the game was concluded. What else should people know about that they might be misinformed about your case?
Yeah, really. Those are the two key positions on that. And one other thing is also the school district. When they told me to stop praying with my team, I did. And I never prayed with my Bremerton Knights again. But then they saw me doing it by myself still. And that's what was the final trigger. So it wasn't even me praying with my team anymore. It became about one person taking the knee and giving thanks after a football game.
Average Joe is the book. Coach Joe Kennedy is with us here on the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. Why did you do it? You explained why you wanted to pray. Why do it publicly, and why was it so important for you to do it in that manner?
Well, that was originally my covenant from when I saw the movie Facing the Giants. And just like the coach did there, he was going to give glory to God, win or lose, after the game. And that's what I did. And since it was my right as an American, I served as a Marine for 20 years. And I think I understood what the First Amendment says of the freedom of speech and the freedom of religion. But that's where we kind of got our wires crossed. And, you know, I mean, yeah, I could have prayed anywhere. But the big deal was it wasn't a big deal. It was one guy taking a knee after a game being thankful, which is not really newsworthy in my mind, nor is it worth firing somebody over. But I am a man of principle, and it was a principle of it of you cannot tell people that they have to choose between their faith and their job. That's not the America I signed up for and not the one I want to live in.
You could have simply stopped. You could have found a job elsewhere, perhaps. You could have stopped after a few losses along the way in court. What drove you to take this all the way to the high court, despite the you know, extreme length of time, expense, all of that? What drove you to take this all the way?
Well, there was a couple reasons. One of them was my football team itself. I've always told my guys to stand up for what is right, even if it's not popular. And when they asked me, Coach, can't you just give in and you know, not fight this fight? I mean, this is going to cause us all, you know, all kinds of havoc on our team and for our season. And when they said that, I knew right there in that moment that, number one, I needed to stand up, because I tell these guys to do the same thing. Now, all of a sudden, I'm going to stop and I'm going to give up because it became uncomfortable. So I wanted to set a good example and show leadership by example. And then the second one was there were so many people in our community, especially at our high school and in our school district, that were believers, like the superintendent. He's a good friend of mine, was and still is a good friend of mine. And he couldn't stand up for what was right. What was he going to do? Go against his lawyers? So I knew he wanted to do the right thing. But if somebody could get bullied like that, then somebody needs to stand up. And as an American, I'm so tired of people getting ran over and us little guys getting squashed. So I was going to make my stand on that hill.
Talking to Coach Joe Kennedy. You can find more at CoachJoeKennedy.com. He is the author of the new book, Average Joe, and also won that landmark religious liberty case in front of the Supreme Court. Take us through that day or those days around the ruling by the Supreme Court, Coach Kennedy. How did you find out? What did you think when you heard the ruling from the Supreme Court?
Well, the week before, I think you remember the Dobbs case, which was the Roe versus Wade that got overturned. Mm-hmm. And that came out a week before ours, which was just shocking. I thought that was going to be the last one of the year. So I didn't know where mine was going to line up. And I was sitting in a conference room with my lawyers down in Plano, Texas, with First Liberty Institute. And we were waiting to see what pops up. It might have been that one or the next week. We knew we only had 2 weeks left. And when ours popped up that Monday, I mean, all of us kind of looked at each other with, oh, my gosh, here it is. And then as soon as they got done reading it, I kept trying to bug them, trying to find out what happened. And they were like, shh, you won 6-3. Let us finish reading. So I had to sit there waiting for them to finish reading it. And then it was just a mad rush to tell the world about it. We did 87 interviews in the next 3 days. So we didn't get a chance to actually celebrate. It was just sharing the news everywhere in the world.
Did you leave this entire ordeal with more faith in the system because of the result? Did it leave you questioning the process? Were you sort of disgusted by the lengths you had to go to just to assert this right?
Oh, yes. At the very beginning, I thought we could just work this out as adults. And imagine that, sitting down and actually talking about this and coming to some kind of resolution. And then when we went to the first court, I figured, okay, this will be it. We got to put a stop to this nonsense. And when the judge said, hey, I don't see anything wrong with praying except for because of the political climate, I can't rule in your favor. And I was floored. I mean, we're talking about the political climate. You're supposed to rule on facts of the case. So I lost all of my respect and all my trust in the lower courts. I was just shocked, especially when I went to the Ninth Circuit, and it was like they personally had an axe to grind against me. And man, I felt beat up by the time it got to the, you know, to the Supreme Court, and we had to start it all over again, and they doubled down. And yeah, it was absolutely crazy. And you know, at least I have faith in America now, but all the way through for 8 years, I was questioning and thinking, my God, how can anybody live through this?
Coach Joe Kennedy, Average Joe is the book. You can find more at CoachJoeKennedy.com. The book, of course, includes this story, your story, Coach. And we've talked a lot about the court case today. What else will people learn? What more is in Average Joe?
Yeah, it's really to tell you I thought God had the wrong guy. And, you know, I still question him on that because it goes back to, when I was conceived, I was an unwanted pregnancy and I was in and out of group homes and foster homes when I was a kid. So I went through, some major trials. But all during that, it just made me stronger to be ready for this fight. And it tells about my family going through all this and the relationship with my wife. So it's a really good love story about my love for my wife, my love for our country, and my love of God. And I think everybody's going to be just fascinated with, you know, all the details of this. Like, I had no idea. Instead of just reading a headline, you actually get to read what an average Joe is in America, and that they can make a difference.
Coach Joe Kennedy, author of the new book, Average Joe, One Man's Faith and the Fight to Change a Nation. You can find out more at CoachJoeKennedy.com. Coach, thanks so much for joining us here on the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Awesome. Thanks, brother.
Up next, Dr. Christopher Bush from Hillsdale's English Department returns for his series on the poetry of Robert Frost. I'm Scott Bertram. This is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. for my show, North State Now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Bott, or North State Now, the first Thursday, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
This holiday season, join the all-new tradition of lights and festivities for the entire family at Redding Garden of Lights.
Taking place November 17th through January 7th at Turtle Bay's McConnell Botanical Gardens.
At the Sundial Bridge in Redding, California.
Explore over 10 acres of outdoor illuminated gardens featuring over 1 million lights. Plus holiday-themed food, drinks, music, and so much more.
Redding Garden of Lights, presented by Mercy Medical Center, Redding.
Learn more at turtlebay.org.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6:05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Attention veterans, did you know that Shasta College and Simpson University have veterans resource centers to assist you in your educational pursuits? These centers offer a wide range of support services, including financial aid, tutoring, IT support, and more. We understand the unique challenges that veterans face and are committed to helping you succeed. Our experienced staff is here to help you navigate the college experience and achieve your academic and career goals. Don't let anything stand in your way. This message is brought to you by Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary of California Veterans Affairs.
Hi, this is Elle. Join me and my good friend and co-host Ron Lim for our new show, Ask Elle, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Every Tuesday night at 6 p.m., we'll be exploring powerful topics on how to have a successful and satisfying relationship. See you here Tuesday nights at 6 p.m.
Brought to you by Kindness Revolution, Wendy Douglas Insurance.
Welcome back to the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. I'm Scott Bertrand. You can get an email every time there's a new episode of the program. Go to radiohour.hillsdale.edu, click subscribe, and enter your email address. You'll always know about new releases from the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. We're joined by Dr. Christopher Bush, professor of English here at Hillsdale College. Dr. Bush, thanks for joining us.
Good to be with you, Scott.
Continuing our series on Robert Frost, we spent some time on his life and a biographical look last time. This time through, I want to talk about the styles, the themes that permeate the work of Robert Frost. And I thought I'd suggest some ideas, and perhaps you can help illuminate those points and maybe give some examples of them in Frost's work.
Absolutely.
So these themes that recur throughout his poems. One is the difficult nature of the self understanding existence. Where do we see that pop up through his work?
Well, I think Frost probably addresses that in much of his poetry. The question of existence, of course, is a big question. So we might think about it in terms of what does it mean to be human, and what is the context in which we live. And sometimes I think actually looking at a poem can help us to understand that. And existence, if we take a look at the poem Birches, for example, existence in that poem is really a contest, I guess you could say, or a struggle between the way that we wish the world to be and the way that it is, and how we struggle with that kind of contention. The poem Birches begins, "When I see birches bend to left and right across the lines of straighter, darker trees, I like to think some boy's been swinging them." And so the speaker begins by saying, this is the way that I would like the world to be, a place where people play, a place where we are always young. But then he follows that up by saying, but swinging doesn't bend them down to stay as ice storms do. And that's the other pole of the poem. That's the reality. The reason that birch trees are permanently bent over in the woods is not because someone's been playing on them, but it's because of ice storms. And I think what he's really saying is that is the struggle, you might say, or the thing that we must contend with in life, in our existence. What we would like to be, the world that we would like to live in, is often not the world that is. And so what he contends with throughout the poem then is how do we come to some peace, some place of understanding about that? And he gets to the end of the poem and he says, I'd like to go by climbing a birch tree and climb black branches up a snow-white trunk toward heaven till the tree should set me down again. That would be good, both going and coming back. And he ends the poem by saying, one could do worse than be a swinger of birches. So I think what's really powerful about that poem in relation to this question of existence is that we want to hold intention, our dream, our wish, our hope of what it is to be human and what this world is like. But we also need to recognize the reality of the ice storm.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's between heaven and, the ground, I suppose you could say, where I think Frost often lives. He lives in that space.
Birches has trees and an ice storm discussed. Nature is a frequent topic for his work and his poems. And thematically, the ambiguity of nature when it's considered a source of wisdom. What do we see from Frost there?
I think the way that nature works in Robert Frost poetry is that it becomes the central metaphor in so many ways as he's talking about his philosophical concerns. So the way that I like to think about it is that he will begin with often a person in a scene in nature. And so it might be in Stopping Roads on a Snowy Evening or The Road Not Taken or Birches. And often it's often a rural scene, a very simple scene, a place where one might find oneself at just any day, really. Mm-hmm. It's not something unique. And then he will use that as a springboard into some of the deepest and most philosophical discussions. So I think nature, in some poems, clearly nature is there and nature is the subject. But I think more often nature is the metaphor that he uses to as a way of getting to his main concern or his main interest in the poems.
Talking with Dr. Christopher Bush about the works of Robert Frost, themes and styles. Come back in a moment, but a little side conversation here. You told us last time that one of the reasons you were drawn to Robert Frost is he's a poet who wants to be understood. But there's often a hidden complexity in his themes. How do those two elements get balanced?
Yes. So again, in an interview, Robert Frost likened his poetry to playing a children's game called, Snap the Whip or Crack the Whip. So children in, the one-room schools would all join hands and they would run around the field, and whoever was the leader would get to decide which direction they go and might make a 180-degree turn. Well, that would send the whole lines going way around, and the one on the very end would really have to hang on. And so what Robert Frost said in the interview was, that's what his poetry is like. He said, are you still with me? Are you still hanging on? His poetry appears to be very simple. It has simple diction. It has simple settings, characters that seem to be somewhat uncomplicated. But I think what we really see as we dig deeper, and we just have to notice is what we have to do. We have to notice what he says. And there's always going to be a gleam in his eye. He's going to say, are you getting it? Because he will sometimes lay traps for us. And so we really have to pay attention.
Frost writes with sensitivity on the themes of doom and extinction. And as we discussed last time, he had experienced a number of losses in his life. Do you think that contributes to the way he writes about those topics?
I think it does. I think he was undoubtedly, because he was so involved in his family's life, and I think he was clearly affected by all of the losses and by all the suffering. He was tremendously resilient to be able to continue on and continue to have such a public life and to be such a prolific poet. But I think it certainly did affect him. Probably one of his darkest poems is a poem called Design. And I think, in that poem, he really gets into speculation about how the world is really put together. I think that's one of the things that we all think about and that he spent a lot of time thinking about. And basically, that poem brings us to a scene in which there is a white moth and there is a white flower and there is a white spider. And the color white is usually or often associated with innocence. And what's most interesting about it, I think, is that the spider is basically creating a kind of a web which ensnares the moth. And at the end of the poem, he asks questions. He says, what made the spider come to that place to build its web? What made the moth go that way? And he ends the poem by saying, what but design of darkness to appall, if design govern in a thing so small? And I think what he's really trying to get at in that poem is the question. He never answers it, but it's a question where he says, you know, if there is a design in the universe, could it be actually kind of a malign design? I mean, how do all of these forces come together to result in such a bad outcome? And I'm sure, you know, he undoubtedly, as we all do, wondered how all of these factors came together to cause so much suffering in his life and in the lives of his family.
Dr. Christopher Bush, professor of English here at Hillsdale College, as we continue our series on Robert Frost. Next time, we'll look at a couple of specific works and some of his more well-known works and discuss those a bit. Dr. Bush, thanks so much for joining us here on the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Thank you, Scott.
That will wrap up this edition of the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. Our thanks to Dr. John Fennell. Also, Joe Kennedy, his new book, Average Joe, One Man's Faith and the Fight to Change a Nation. And Dr. Chris Bush from Hillsdale's English Department. The Radio Free Hillsdale Hour is recorded at the studios of WRFH, the student-run radio station at Hillsdale College. Remember, you can hear new episodes every week on this station. You also can find extended versions of some of our interviews or listen anytime to the podcast. Find it at podcast.hillsdale.edu or wherever you get your audio. The assistant producer of the program is Sam Lair. Until next week, I'm Scott Bertram, and this has been the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Hello, I'm Shannon Phillips with the McConnell Foundation. As part of Operation Holiday Salute, we would like to take a moment to thank our veterans and the brave men and women who are currently serving in the armed forces. At the McConnell Foundation, our mission is to help build better communities through philanthropy. We value excellence and integrity, using our personnel, facilities, and financial resources to create and support positive change. We are honored to be a part of Operation Holiday Salute on KCNR.
Hi, Bob the Drop here. The other day, I had a close encounter with my friends from Mars. I visited them a few years back, and they discovered the great taste of Mount Shasta spring water. Well, I guess they ran out, so they came back to Earth to get some more. I reminded them it comes from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta, and it's bottled at the source. I guess they just didn't get the part about us delivering right to your door. Have your own close encounter by calling 1-800-922-6227 to get some of the best-tasting water in the galaxy. Pure and simple, naturally, the best Mount Shasta spring water.
Mow, dig, haul, lift. The versatile Kubota BX Series subcompact tractor does it all. Switching attachments is simple, and a smooth hydrostatic transmission makes for easy operation. The Kubota BX Series, rated number one in durability and owner experience. Talk to your local Kubota dealer today to schedule a demo. Go to KubotaUSA.com for full disclaimer.
Hi, this is Chelsea with NorCal Tractor and Equipment. You do it all, we do it local.
Do you have something you'd like to get painted? Then bring it to Victory Powder Coating. Powder coating is a durable, colorful, environmentally friendly alternative to paint. It's useful in automotive, agricultural, decorative, and high-temperature applications. Victory Powder Coating has become the North State leader in powder coating applications and metal finishing. They specialize in large industrial items like truck beds, agricultural equipment, and trailers. They're dedicated to providing superior work and outstanding customer care. Consider Victory Powder Coating for your next project. Victory Powder Coating.
The United States Marine Corps is celebrating its 248th birthday, November 10th, at Wind River Event Center. All are invited to come and celebrate this special event that includes March On of Colors, the Jefferson Pipes and Drums, and honoring our oldest and youngest Marines present, and much more. Tickets are $35 and includes dinner and birthday cake and dancing. Tickets can be obtained through Eventbrite, Marine Corps 248th birthday. For more information, call 530-605-4565.
Down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt.
My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.